Thank you, praise team. That was just, wow. I mean, you moved this church to say amen. You know? It doesn't happen very often. Sure it does. Anyway, thank you very much. What a powerful song that is, too. You know, my God is for us now. How many of us really think that, live that? We need to. Well, this morning I'm going to kind of finish up a passage of scripture that I started last week. And it's one of the I am passages that Jesus mentioned. And I'm going to, before I get going, and I am going to have to make this disclaimer, this passage of scripture is extremely difficult. Because of what Jesus says. And this is a passage of scripture, and you would think, well, how can something as simple as I am the bread of life? You know, how can a statement that simple actually cause his disciples to leave him? And yet, it happened. And we're going to look at today why it is that Jesus' disciples, a lot of his disciples, not the 12, but a lot of his disciples, who were other than the 12 that were following him, thought that this teaching was just too tough. And they left. They didn't follow him any longer. In fact, Jesus said they really never knew him. And, you know, I think that that is, when we look at this passage of Scripture, I really think this passage of Scripture is one that separates those who are just along for the ride and those who truly are following Jesus Christ and have truly accepted him as their Lord and Savior. Now, as you look at the bulletin or your sermon notes, it says we're going to go through 28 verses. Don't be concerned, I'm not going to go through all those verses. But it's in that section that we find the material that we're looking at today, and I'm just going to pick a few sections out of that material. But in that passage of Scripture, there are four important statements that are made by Jesus. Four important statements that we need to know. And again, some of them were difficult. And so bear with me on this because, again, this is a source of a controversy. Even in today's world, people read this and they go, what in the world is this man saying? What is he talking about? And his statements are often totally misunderstood when we come to this passage of Scripture. When you look at it in the context of what he is saying and how he is saying and really what he is talking about, it is very understandable. And I trust none of you will, after the service, leave and not come back again. I hope that doesn't happen. But anyway, because that is what happened when Jesus got done delivering this message the first time around. And so, before we get started, let's pray that the Lord would really instruct us. Father, what a great time of praising already we've had in your house. Father, I thank you for giving our praise team their voices. The musicians, their talent to play and to lead us. And Father, I just pray that your name has truly been glorified in what has been sung this morning in the attitudes and in our hearts, Lord. Father, as we turn to your word, Lord, we know that this is a difficult passage of Scripture to understand. It's actually quite simple in what it's saying. It's just how it was said that is, in some cases, offensive to people. But, Father, it's the truth. And help us to understand what it is that Jesus is saying, not to miss the main point of what he's saying, the words in which he uses. But, Father, open our hearts so that we may hear what Jesus is saying to the Jews and to his disciples. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Four important statements made by Jesus. The first one we've already touched on last week, and so we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. But there are three times in this passage of Scripture, and actually you would have to add a few more verses, the ones we covered last week. But there are three times that Jesus made this statement. I am the bread of life. We find it in John 6:35 when it says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. First time he says it. Then he says it again a little bit later on in this passage of Scripture in verse 48 when he says, I am the bread of life. And then again in John 6:51, the first part of verse 51, he says, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. So Jesus is comparing himself to bread. Now, why is he doing that? Bread has always been seen as a sign of life. You need to sustain yourself, you need bread. You need to eat to live. And so bread has always been used as a thing that represents life. Well, Jesus is trying to make the comparison of himself to bread because the bread, he says, I am the bread of life. I am. Not the bread that we eat. Yes, we need. He's not saying we don't need to eat bread or food to stay alive. He's not saying that at all. But what he's saying is, I am the spiritual bread of life. And again, we have to kind of put our spiritual glasses on here. And when we do, we will understand this passage of Scripture, and there will be no misunderstanding about it. So, that's the first statement it makes. Now, the second statement is connected to it. And this is what it says. It says, if you eat the living bread, you will live forever. And we find that in John 6, verses 47 through 50. John 6, verses 47 through 50, where Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. And here Jesus is clarifying what he is talking about here. He says, your forefathers ate the manna, the bread that God sent out of heaven to sustain them during their time in the wilderness. Your forefathers ate that, and yet not one of them is alive till this day. They have all, in fact, thousands of years ago, have died. But the bread that I am giving you, the bread that I am, is the bread that will help you, that will give you eternal life. It will give you eternal life. He says, truly, truly, I say to you. When Jesus says, truly, truly, pay attention. Well, actually, pay attention to everything Jesus says, okay? Don't say, well, Pastor Mason, I don't have to pay attention to what Jesus said, because he didn't say truly, truly first, okay? Occasionally, he says truly, truly, but when he does, it's kind of an emphasis. It's like, hey, listen, pay attention, listen to what I say, because this is the truth that I am telling you. I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. Well, he believes what? He who believes what? You have to ask that question, but to ask that question, the answer is in the next verse. I am the bread of life. If you believe that I am the bread of life, you will live forever. If you believe that I am the bread of life, and you eat the bread of life, then you will live forever. Now, we go on in other passages of Scripture. John 14, 1 through 3 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. And this is when Jesus tells his disciples that he's leaving them. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And again, here's that. Believe in me, the bread of life. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a tremendous promise that he gives to his disciples. If you believe in God, believe in me. And if we go back and put in there, he doesn't say it in this passage, but believe in me, the bread of life. If you do that, then you will go to be with me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And, I'm getting, listening to the Randy Alcorn class, I'm getting really excited about that place that God is preparing for me. You know, it's going to be, you know, and the greatest thing is, it's not going to take any maintenance. At least I don't think it is. And so I'm looking forward to that. You know, but then again, maybe I will mow the lawn. He doesn't ask. You ever talk about mowing the lawn in heaven? No. But actually, in heaven, it sounds like we are going to be busy. And we are going to be doing this thing. Is we're going to love it. So I don't know about mowing lawn. Although that is one of my favorite things to do. But believe in Jesus Christ, the bread of life. If you believe in him. Acts 16, 29-30. And again, this is the Philippian jailer. And he asks the question, I'll just read it to you. And he called for the lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Again, this concept of salvation is in believing in Jesus Christ. Believe in him, and you will have everlasting life. And then in Romans 10:9, Paul writes that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This idea that we need to believe that Jesus is the bread of life. We need to believe that there really is no other source of life than in Jesus Christ, the bread of life. But then I'm going to ask the question, is believing enough? Is believing enough? You know, I've talked to a lot of people who believe in God. They believe that Jesus is God's Son. They believe that he came to this earth and all the things that we teach about Jesus Christ. They believe that. But it doesn't seem to affect them. They don't seem to connect. They believe it. But, I would say, going back to those last passages of Scripture, they believe it, but they don't believe it in their heart. They don't believe it in their heart. It's gone to here, and it needs to start here. But it needs to go from here to here. From your head to your heart. And this is where Jesus is going with this. So, bear with me. The next statement that he makes that we're going to look at, the statement he makes is, the living bread is Jesus' flesh, or the living bread is my flesh. That's what he says. John 6:51, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now this is where people start going, huh? Wait a second. What are we talking here? Is Jesus kind of, you know, and I know it sounds strange, but is Jesus kind of hinting at cannibalism here? I mean, do we have to literally eat his flesh? Because he says, I am the bread of life. His bread is my flesh. So do we have to do it? And, you know, I watch a lot of sci-fi, and I watch a lot of horror movies, and this doesn't sound good to me. It really doesn't. And you can imagine what it sounded like to them. In fact, if we read the next verse, 52, it says, "Then the Jews begin to argue with one another, saying, 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?'" That's a good question. And it actually is a good question. There's really, you know, I mean, we look at that and we say, well, they shouldn't be, I mean, Jesus said it, so they shouldn't be arguing about it. But how? I mean, basically, what's he saying? What in the world is he talking about? Well, we see the same problem develop between Jesus and another disciple named Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. And this is when Nicodemus comes and visits Jesus and asks a question. And Jesus makes this reply, starting in verse 3. So Jesus answered and said to him, and then there's those two words again, "Truly, truly," listen. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, Nicodemus should have understood that, right? Well, he didn't, because if we look at the next verse, verse 4, it says, "Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?'" We're not even going to talk about that, because that is as strange as, "My flesh is the bread and you need to eat my flesh." But see, the connection with these two passages is Jesus is not talking literally. He's talking figuratively. He's not talking of the physical, he's talking of the spiritual, and he's talking in spiritual ways. Of course, an old man can't go into his mother's womb and be born again, but he's not talking about that. He's talking about being born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus isn't catching that. Well, again, Jesus is talking here about spiritual realm, and the Jews are not catching it. And we get the, Jesus kind of mentions that and explains it in John 6, 63. When he says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." So what Jesus is saying here is, folks, don't take me literally. I am looking above that. I am using this as an example for you. Don't get all hung up on the words that I choose to say. And yet, Jesus chose to say them that way for a purpose. It got their attention. It got their attention. If someone told me that I had to eat someone's flesh for something, it would get my attention. It would also probably get my rejection, because I wouldn't do that. But here Jesus is and we're going to talk about that more in just a second, what it actually means to eat the flesh and to drink the blood. We're going to look at that. We need to look at that, because you know what? Someone might ask us about that, and most of us are going to go, that has to do with, let's see, anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll do my hymn and hymn later. But as we look in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 20, the author of Hebrews, again, uses a different picture to talk about Christ's flesh. It says, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh." So Jesus says, "My flesh is the bread," and now the writer of Hebrews says that his flesh is the veil. Now, what is the writer of Hebrews talking about here? He's talking about the holies of holies was kind of blocked off by this curtain. According to the scriptures, it was very thick, very hard. But when Jesus Christ was crucified, that curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. Not that a man could have done that. It had to be God had done it. And what it did is it opened up and revealed the Holy of Holies. Well, the Holy of Holies was open through Christ's death. And it's the same for us. The Holy of Holies, which is God, God's throne, God is available through us because of Jesus' flesh, because he gave his life, because he was hung on a cross, because he was pierced, because he was, because he died. He took the punishment upon us. And so we're starting to get the idea, really, of what Jesus is saying here. And then the last statement that we're going to look at, and we're actually going to end early today. I know that generally doesn't happen, but who knows? It's the time change, I guess. The last statement is, the only way to eternal life is to eat Jesus' flesh and to drink his blood. Now again, that sounds horrid. That sounds terrible. Certainly, Jesus did not mean that. Well, let me read the passage of Scripture for you, because, again, he says it, it isn't a misprint. He says it several times, starting in verse 53 of chapter 6. He says, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, here we go again, is that truly, truly thing, so what he's going to say is really important. I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides with me, and I in him. Then he goes on and says, as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven. Not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. Again, very graphic. And there are people who will say, no way, this is cannibalism. And so there's a lot of theologians who have tried to figure out how to make this palatable to us. And so what they've done is they say, well, what Jesus is really talking about here is the Lord's Supper. You know, we did that last Sunday. And remember I mentioned that people equate this passage with the Lord's Supper, but it really has nothing to do with the Lord's Supper. Jesus is not referring to the Lord's Supper. This is about a year before the Lord's Supper he used. And that is a memorial meal. That is a meal that the bread represents Jesus' body. The cup represents Jesus' blood. Now, there are some that have gone so far as to say, well, we're going to put the memorial supper that Jesus talks about and this passage in John chapter 6, we're going to put them together. And so what they come up with is that the bread of communion actually turns to God's flesh, to Jesus' flesh, excuse me, and that the cup is actually his blood that we drink. But that's a stretch. That's not what it's all about. What Jesus is really saying here is that and there's one word too that is just really important in this passage of Scripture. And you probably need to underline it in your Bibles. And that word is unless. Unless you say, okay, now we'll talk about all these things. Why is it that I would underline the word unless? Well, and again, verse 53, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourself. So we're looking at this, and what comes out of this, Jesus is saying, this is it. This is the only way. This is the only way for you to have eternal life. There is no other way. Okay, there is no other way. And there's another passage, the I Am passage, that we're going to be looking at a little bit later, that deals with this thought. But this needs to be said, I think, a lot of times, because there are people, even in the church, who say, well, yeah, Jesus is a way. No, Jesus isn't a way. Jesus is the way. And Jesus says here, unless. I mean, when he says unless, he means there's no other way. This is how you get eternal life. And don't think there's another way. Don't let someone tell you that there's another way. But then when we go on, it's like, okay, but eating his flesh and drinking his blood. What is that? And really, what we need to look at is, okay, imagine it this way. You are starving to death. Okay, you're starving to death. You know, it's 5:30 and your wife doesn't have lunch on dinner until yet. And you're just starving to death. No, I shouldn't pick on you. We ate it. I ate it at 9:30 last night. But anyway, it wasn't Melissa's fault. That was my fault. So you're starving, and someone gives you this nice, great big loaf of bread. You know, I love eating bread. I don't eat it much anymore, but I love eating bread. And they set it down before you. Yeah, I want to ask you a question. If you're starving to death and someone gives you a loaf of bread, is that loaf of bread just sitting there going to save you? What do you have to do to that loaf of bread? What do you have to do? You have to eat it. You have to consume it. You have to put it into your body in order for it to do any good. Well, what Jesus is saying is you need to believe that I am the bread of life, but you also need to take me into you. You need to make me a part of your heart. You need to make me a part of your life. You need to you need to believe in my flesh, which is going to be, and again, they would not have understood this yet, which is going to be crucified for you, and my blood, which is going to be shed for you. You need to not just see it and have it appear and kind of believe it, but it needs to become a part of you. You need to partake in it. You need to eat it up. You need to eat up the Word of God. You need to believe it with all your heart. Not just know it. Acknowledge it. Say, yep, that's a loaf of bread there. You know, you got to eat it if it's going to do you any good. And so maybe that analogy will help you kind of look at this. It's like, you know, if you're starving and you need food, you've got to eat the food that is provided for you. Jesus is the food of life. And so if we want to live, we need to partake in what Jesus did to save us. And folks, he's the only way. In Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, and this is Peter making this great speech. And he says, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands before you in good health. And this is after the healing of an invalid, a paralytic. Then he goes on and says, this is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. Now, this is the verse I'm getting to, and I'm sorry that it took so much time to get it, but this is what he says. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. See, Jesus refers to that when he says, unless you partake in me, unless you eat the bread of life, unless you drink the blood of the Lamb, which is the true food, the food that gives life. Now again, think spiritual, not physical. Think spiritual.